This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hope FM, another quality service from Christ, is the answer ministry. This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
And you are on Hope FM Listen and Leave. My name is Grace Mutiso, 16 minutes past 11. And this is the Leadership Forum, where we discuss matters, leaders and followers. And it's a great time for us to learn how to be great leaders. We began a session on motivation, a great way to begin the year, on how you as a leader, you can be able to motivate your team just beyond money. Imagine it's not money that your followers need that will motivate them to work. There are many other things we learned last time. I hope you can still remember and you applied. I applied one. I won't say the results, but it's working. And I hope you applied yourself too. So engage with us. Our SMS line is 20933. You can also talk to us on 0717400555. We are live at Hope TV and live on our social media handles at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. Engage with us on those platforms. We'll be glad to hear from you and answer any of the questions that you have. Of course, in the next hour, we'll have our question of the day. At this point, allow me to invite our able facilitator, Reverend Dr. David Oginde, joining us graciously every alternate Monday for the Leadership Forum. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
You've been well?
Very well, thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Been very well.
By God's grace.
Kuinje kuna kelele. Mingi sana.
Which on words?
On everything. I think we Kenyans, we love noise. And so people are shouting and... But the worst of all is the apparent increase in the killing of women. It's worrying. It's worrying, yeah. Mm. So I would say for me that is something that is very shocking and very sad.
What could be happening? You know, last time Bishop, we spoke about it and he said, yes, people could be stressed and all that. But it's on the increase. I think every week there is a case reported. And last weekend we had actually a demonstration across the country on the same.
After two others were killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I still believe it is the same thing, that there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of people are not able to achieve what they desire to, and they see others are the one, as the ones bringing that frustration upon them, and so the stronger has taken advantage of the weaker, if we put it that way. So the men obviously are stronger than the women, and therefore see them as the objects of their frustrations, and the only way to deal with them is to kill them, which is very, very unfortunate. And it is an indication of a society that has broken down, really. Because in our original traditional African society, we lived in communities. And therefore, that provided an opportunity for issues to be resolved in a communal way. Even within the family, if there was disagreement, you could always go out to your extended family to come and help you resolve the issues, go to the elders to help you sort out issues. And so you didn't find this level of people taking vengeance upon one another. But now that all has broken down, so every person for themselves, you know, it's like the days of the judges. Everyone does what they please. Children are out there. They're not living with the family. The families are not connected with their extended families. Those extended families are not part of a community. And so when I get frustrated, I do whatever I think is best for me to do to sort out myself. And I'm sure And let me not say I'm sure. I hope that some of these people eventually regret what they have done.
Yeah.
But it is too late. Somebody's life has been taken. And as we said last time, I think seek help. Seek help when you find yourself in those situations. But the fact that this thing is on the increase, it means that our society is not in good shape.
Yeah.
It is not in good shape, yeah.
And the sad bit, I think it's yesterday when I saw just a grandmother who's
60-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kept wondering, what has a grandmother done? You know, this is a woman who's just enjoying life, thanking God.
Yeah.
You know, and...
It is that lack of a channel through which people can channel their grievances, channel their frustrations in a way that they can be helped. That seems to be going down. And we see it not just in Kenya. We see it out there in the U.S., particularly in the U.S. A lot of killings, people killing one another. Particularly the blacks have borne the brunt of killings. People just feel, you know, you are this, and they shoot you. Children shooting one another in school, you know. It's again that whole breakdown of community, a social cohesion that can provide a place where you can take your grievances whenever you have that problem.
Okay.
So I think we who are in the Christian community, and indeed every other religious community, should seek to provide support to individuals so that people can find a place of outlet. They can be pointed to God, who can help them deal with their frustrations.
Just to tarry there a little bit, then we move on. I think it's in one of the medias which was hosting, I think, an organization that has done survey and just indicated that in the killings top, it's husband killing their spouses, then boyfriends, and then the others. So is there something that is not working in the family setup, Bishop? Because if it's a husband, how do you kill your wife? How?
Yeah, that frustration, I will just repeat myself. You see, in when I was growing up, And society was structured in the African way. If a man had a problem with his wife, the first place of call was their parents from both sides. You go to your parents, you say, so we don't seem to be understanding one another. And so the parents of the man would then bring these two people together and try to find out what is the problem. And they try to help these people to resolve whatever it is. And in most cases, it was resolved at that level. If they are not able to, then the parents of the girl are also invited to come in so that the matter can be sorted out. And in most cases, most of the problems were sorted out at that level. So it was very rare that you find that a husband has killed a wife or a wife has killed a husband. I'm not saying it never happened. It did happen, but they were very rare, very rare. But now it's becoming so commonplace. Even things like divorce and separation were very rare because issues were resolved at a community level, at family level. But now with you and your husband, you are there all alone. When you disagree, there's almost no one to engage. And then depending on the temperaments of certain individuals, it is not just men killing their wives, but even wives killing their husbands, though that is not as prevalent as the other way around. It means that this is it. So if we can't agree, we either divorce, we separate, or we kill. There's no one else to be brought into the picture. And that's why I was saying that communities need to be put together, especially for us in the faith. to bring communities of faith where people can share. I know in Sitam, for example, we have what you call the marriage communities that people come in, marriage care groups.
MCCGs.
Yes, the MCCGs. So you, couples are in a continuous fellowship, as it were, and people share some of the challenges and issues. And then you discover you're not the only one who has a problem. There are other people who are also going through different issues, and you can pray together, support one another. And this will bring down that kind of experience that we are seeing now. In terms of boyfriend, girlfriend, again, I think the other challenge that we are facing, Grace, is that young people have a very utopian thinking of marriage and relationship. Too much of the internet, too much of movies, and you think that these things that you see in movies, these things that you see in on internet, and people enjoying their lives and you know, going out and doing what kind of thing, that is real life. Real life is not like that. Real life is human being to human being,
yes,
all with their faults. And so you find that this is a situation where two young people come together as friends, and they have very high expectations of one another.
Mm.
And when those expectations are not met, then the disappointment sometimes becomes too great, and some people who are not able to control themselves end up doing very crazy things. So you saw that there was a man who was killed by a young girl. You know, it was not even clear whether she was underage or she was of age. I don't know where that case has got to. But he said she stabbed him 25 times. Mm. How do you stab somebody 25 times? That's very high level of anger and frustration.
And they had just met that day.
Well, as for whether they had met that day, I don't know.
I think there is a story ahead. They had just met somewhere that day.
Whatever it is. But there's this frustration. Yeah. So again, leveling our expectations of one another is so very important. The divorce rates are very high right now. I know several couples that I personally have married. And in some cases, they have not even lasted a year.
Oh.
And they are separated. And you wonder, what did you discover in a year that you didn't know before you got married?
Yeah.
But it is this very, what I call utopian expectation.
Mm.
You expect that a marriage is going to be a date. You know, when you go out for dates and you look at one another nicely and you take tea and coffee and send texts to one another, you think that is what is going to be happening in the house. No. It is totally different.
It's work. A lot of work.
When you get to the house, it is work.
Yes.
And it is reality. It is no longer just taking coffee.
Mm-mm.
It is sorting out issues.
Yes. And temperaments.
And temperaments and differences,
yes,
and so on. So, but young people get in, actually, I have come to almost believe that most young people, what they look forward to is the wedding.
No. That's just an hour's event.
Even if it takes 8 hours,
It
is an event. It's a day's event.
Yeah.
And many of them, and you see the amount of time and resources that go into preparing for a wedding. And it tells you that is where their mind is. Okay. It is the wedding. They don't think about the marriage, which is a journey.
Lifetime.
Of many years,
yes.
Of many years, depending on how long you live together. It's a journey of many years, but they don't think about that. So a wonderful wedding has been done, and all pomp and color, and as money is splashed around, and we are all impressed. But then, after the honeymoon, in fact, sometimes even during the honeymoon, reality comes. Mm. And you discover that you are two ordinary human beings who look at life very differently, who have come from very different backgrounds and have very different expectations, and suddenly you are shocked as to just what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
And the wedding is forgotten. The wedding is gone. For us, we have eaten the rice and soup very plenty, and we have gone back home. And we leave the two of you to now begin the true and real life's journey of marriage. And many young people are not prepared for it.
Is there something that we need to do as church, something we need to do as parents to help our young people?
Yes, many churches have marriage counseling, some very, very detailed and very long. But sometimes I feel like many of the young people don't even take those lessons seriously. It is just part of the formality that we have to fulfill before we go to the wedding. I remember a very classical case of a couple that came to me to wed them when I was still in church. And so I asked them, have you done this and have you done that and have you done this? They had not done any of the formalities. The wedding was coming in 2 weeks' time. They had not done anything. So I was like, what? We are supposed to see a pastor. We are supposed to go through counseling. They had not done. All they had done was to go to the AG's office, register themselves, and for them, they were ready to get married. So when I told them even of just the notice, 21 days notice that needs to be read to the congregation, when I told them they need to go for premarital counseling, they need to do this and that, they were like, Pastor, we didn't know that. I'm saying, what? And these are adults. These are not like young children. I think both of them were either in their early 30s or late 20s. And I'm thinking, how? In 2 weeks' time, you want me to marry you? It's very difficult. So it tells you that we have a problem. But just a simple answer to your question is that many churches have premarital counseling. And I want to encourage young people, if any is listening to us, take those counseling sessions seriously. Consider them seriously. And if you find that you're not yet ready for what you are being told, it is better for you not to go in. I know that doesn't sound very nice in the ears of those people who are already in a relationship and they're looking forward to getting married. If you find there's something that you just are doubtful about, it is better for you to break a relationship than to break in a marriage.
I agree.
Or to fight and kill one another in the marriage. We try, even in the wedding day, we still give people opportunity. We ask you, are you really sure?
Yes, confess if you're sure. That was and a hard question.
It is a hard question.
It's easy to pause and reflect.
Yeah. At that point, you still have the opportunity to change your mind. If there's something you're just not sure about, because once you get in there, it is a lifetime journey. It's a lifetime experience. Some young people say, oh, if it doesn't work, I'll just get out. That's not what marriage is. This is not a walk-in, walk-out.
No.
It is a lifetime journey.
Okay.
Anyway, that is where we find ourselves.
Sawa. May the Lord help us.
May the Lord help us.
And also our young people.
Amen.
Amen. Let's now get to our topic. We began talking about motivation of your followers as a leader, and that is motivation beyond money. And we talked about a few things. We talked about a good working environment, Bishop. Also, socialization, you know, allowing socialization, allowing you to, allowing your team to give you feedback, you know. What other one? Allowing them to express themselves. Yes, that one. So
we talked about recognition. Recognize your members. Yes.
Okay.
So that they feel valued. They feel We said all those things.
Yes.
Yes.
We can pick it up from there.
Today we want to pick it up from there. Basically, we are looking at motivation so that your team members can perform to their optimum, you know. So this is the task and responsibility of a leader to motivate their members in so that they can perform. Now, job performance, scholars have identified three things that you consider in performance.
Yes.
The first one is the capacity, the capacity to perform, the degree to which an individual possesses the relevant talents, skills, abilities, knowledge, competencies, experiences, and that is what you'll find in a job advert.
Yes.
You know? Mm. Because you want to, first and foremost, at the very bare minimum, you want to find out, does this person have the capacity to perform? Mm. And in most cases, other than where there is some games being played on the side, some favoritism and so on, when in a good job recruitment, or we call it procurement, you will get people of capacity.
Yes.
They will have all those things that you are looking for. The person you ultimately get is a person who has the capacity that you are looking for. So when the person is on board, you are no longer talking about, do they have the capacity?
Mm-mm.
It may not be to the fullest extent, but at least they have the bare minimum that is required, and the rest can be developed. So that capacity will enable an individual to perform,
yes,
the job that is required, the task that they have been assigned. The second level in performance then is the opportunity to perform. I have all that is required to perform, but have I been given the opportunity to utilize my skills, my gifts, my talents? Let me just go back,
yes,
to capacity, for example. When a person does not have the capacity to perform, it ends up in a double frustration. A frustration of the leader or the employer, and a frustration of the member or the employed. Because you come into an organization or a team to make a contribution.
Yes.
You come in to make a difference. And there's a joy that you and fulfillment that you find in so doing. So when then you get into a place where you do not have the capacity to do that, you're frustrated.
Mm.
And that's why shortcuts in recruitment do not work. You know, if you take a person simply because they are your relative or your friend, but they don't have the capacity to perform, both of you will be frustrated.
Yes.
They will be frustrated because they are not able to deliver. You will be frustrated because you don't get what you need. So it is best that you get the person with capacity. And that frustration can be very demotivating for the member, because I've been given this job, I am not able to perform, I am frustrated, I am demotivated. I cannot wake up every morning feeling like I want to go to work.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
Every day is a frustration. You're just, oh my God, I'm going to that place again. And I'm not able to deliver. I don't know what to do. So that is why these factors of performance are so important.
Okay.
Get people with
capacity to perform.
To perform.
Bishop, is there a possibility?
Yes.
That, because capacity to perform, as I've heard you, is you get it right during recruitment.
Yes.
Is there a possibility somebody can come? You know, you have good orators and they're able to pitch properly. They've done their research well. And you feel, this one has everything. This is the person. And you pick. And now when it comes to level two, when you expect them to deliver, it now becomes war. Can that leak during recruitment?
It sometimes does. But a good recruitment process should sift that out. Because we are talking about, you are looking at skills, that the person has relevant skills. You will ask them what they have done, you know, to demonstrate those skills. You are looking at abilities. You are testing knowledge of the work that is to be done. You are looking at experience. Where have they done this before? So if you have a good recruitment process, it is possible for good talkers to to talk their way into their job, but they will be few. There will be few that can really con you, as it were, into giving them a job when they actually do not have. So a good recruitment process should be able to sift people who are just good orators from those who can actually deliver. Sometimes you find that, and I've sat in several interview sessions, panels, and sometimes you find a person who is not as talkative, is not even able to express themselves, but you sense that this person has what we are looking for. And I've seen us do that in a few occasions and ended up with very good people.
Yeah.
But obviously, I can also must confess that we have also been... we have also bought the cover only to find the inside of the book is quite something else.
Yes.
So, but that's why as leaders, we should have a good foolproof, as it were,
yes,
recruitment process that then gives you the right kind of persons that has all that we have talked, the capacity to perform. Because it is good for the person. It is also good for the organization or for the team. But to mitigate that, there's something called probation.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So in a good recruitment process, you will be put under probation for most organizations, 3 months. Some even extend it to 6 months. So within these 3 to 6 months, we are both testing each other. Because the one who is coming in also is coming with expectation.
Yes.
And they may find that this organization sounded so good, but it's not the place that I was looking for. So within those 3 to 6 months, we are free to make decisions either way. The employee can decide, no, I don't want to continue. This is not the environment I thought it was. And you can change your mind. But the employer also has opportunity to be satisfied that, yes, this person has what it takes or at least has the potential to be where we want them. And during that probation period, then we can then confirm you if you are happy with your work or say, sorry, this is not working.
Okay.
Yeah.
And still on that, because I says that is a very critical point.
Yes.
On capacity to perform. You know, last time we said we miss it, even in the people we hire to serve us in government, we miss it at recruitment. So to help leaders who are watching us and listening to us, my question is, where is the place of intuition? So we've come, we're in the panel, and maybe three, tick, 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 but there is something not coming through. But the intuition, the gut feeling says, this person, let's give this person an opportunity. Is there a place of intuition when it comes to recruitment?
Yes, intuition. In fact, I've just alluded to it in giving you personal example. That sometimes you, in this recruitment process, some of the candidates present themselves so well that you just feel this is the person or these are the people that we need to choose from. Then there's this other person who is not as presentable. Sometimes they don't even... I remember one situation where there was this young lady. When she walked through the door, I was thinking, didn't somebody even help her package herself for an interview? You know, just the way she looked.
First impression.
First impression was like...
disaster.
But then when you start talking with her, we started talking with her, you begin to find like, she has some depth. She has something.
Yes.
And eventually something tells you this could be the person that we are looking for. And in the panel, therefore, you find you are thinking, you know, of course, you are not sharing this before the end of the interview.
Yes.
You are feeling like, could I be wrong? You know, because I am tending, leaning towards this person, but they don't seem to, you know, be really up there.
Yes.
Could I be wrong somewhere? And you almost tend to want to adjust your points, but then you leave. But when you share, you find that everybody is the same.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They were also thinking likewise.
Yes.
So when somebody say, yeah, I also seem to like this person, even though they may not seem to have what all that we are looking for, but there's something about her or about him. And you end up taking the person and they turn out to be very good people. And vice versa.
Yes.
The person is presenting themselves so well, everything box, tick, 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 like you're saying.
Mm.
But something within you is saying, I'm not sure about this person.
Mm.
I'm not sure. And again, when you compare notes with other panelists, you discover that they are also feeling the same. So intuition does play a role, and I think we have said it on this platform before, that previously in leadership studies and leadership practice, intuition was not considered as a legitimate basis for making decisions. But in more recent times, intuition has been brought on board as a legitimate basis for making decisions. Yes. So even in deciding who to recruit and who not to, it is fair to use that. And sometimes, let's say, for example, you have looked at all the people and the only person who looked like they are qualified, they tick all the boxes, but something in you tells you no. Sometimes it's important to just postpone that decision.
Yes.
And wait. I don't know whether I've given that example here, but I remember one time we were recruiting pastors and we interviewed 30.
Yes.
I think I've mentioned
you
it.
You mentioned last
time. Yes.
And you fell to a year for some.
So at the end of it, no, we fell for a year for ourselves.
After 3 days.
After 3 days of sitting and interviewing all these people, we felt like we can't go hunting and
zero.
Just come with zero. I think we are being too harsh on ourselves or on the candidates. So we decided to take two of them. And as I may have mentioned, those people didn't last. We regretted from the beginning. Yeah. So trust also your gut feeling. For us who are Christians, of course, we say, listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So
capacity to perform is the first place to begin, because before we get into the motivation, let these basics be in place.
Yes.
Let them be in place. The second one, we talked about the opportunity to perform. Opportunity to perform is where you have now got this person who has the capacity, has everything that you need. But then they are not given that opportunity to perform. You know? So some people are performing below capacity or no opportunity. That also can bring frustration to an individual. If I have come with my skills, with my abilities, with all that it takes and is required, and then I'm not given opportunity to exercise and to utilize my skills, my abilities, my knowledge, my experience, again, it becomes a frustration.
Yes.
So even before you talk about motivation, have you given this person an opportunity to experience or to exercise the capacity that they have brought on board? You could be, you know, like many of us, if I use just a practical example, you buy a phone for a lot of money, you know, because you also want a smartphone. And so you have spent 20,000, 30,000, you know, for some people, 200,000. Yeah, their phones for 250,000.
Mm.
But then all you do is you use it for text and for WhatsApp and for calling. That phone is loaded with a lot of things. It comes loaded with a lot of things.
Yes.
But some of us, we don't even read the manual to just get to know what your phone, what your device can actually do. So there are so many other things that you are doing on the side which your gadget could actually help you do. But because you have not read the manual or you have not taken time to appreciate what this gadget can offer you, that gadget could actually grow old in your hands, utilize under capacity. So you had a full capacity phone, but you are utilizing at a very low capacity.
Yeah.
And that happens with the human beings. They come fully loaded with a lot. But because we have not explored and given them opportunity to utilize their capacity, then that person may also grow old in your organization without you knowing that there are things they were capable of doing. So one day you may just stumble. Maybe you are doing something and then they say, could I try it? And they try it and voila. You're like, I didn't know you could do this.
You never asked.
You never asked. Beyond never asking is you never gave me the opportunity to try.
Yes.
And so when we are doing transformational leadership, one of the things we said is you challenge your team members to expand and extend their capacity.
Yes.
Give them opportunity to innovate, to try new things, so that in that process you may discover where their capacity lies and what they are capable of doing. And they may surprise you with just what they are able to do. So give people opportunity, because when they are not given opportunity, again, it ends up in frustration. Yeah. And frustration brings about disillusionment, and people then get discouraged and they don't do their work to full capacity because they feel discouraged, underutilized, undervalued.
Okay. So on this point, Bishop, in terms of opportunity to perform, if I hear you right, it's just not giving you the job description. Can I also give a follow opportunity to do things, to experiment, for lack of a better word, things beyond their job description for their personal growth and also growth of the organization? Is that it?
Yes, yes. That is true. That's why buzzword today is innovation and creativity.
Yes.
We say, don't tell people what to do. Tell them what needs to be done. Yeah, not how it should be done. So when you're giving us assignment, tell people what needs to be done, what you would want. You know, then allow them to use their creative juices to come up with solutions. And many times they may surprise you either way.
Yes.
They can surprise you negatively. They can also surprise you positively. And that's how you get to know people's capacity. That's how you get to know what an individual is capable of doing. And so you allow people to be creative, to think, to innovate, and give them assignments, like you're saying, that may not be within their job description. Push people to do things that sometimes they are reluctant to do. And I've seen people that I've worked with, some of them that have surprised themselves. You know, because when I was giving them an assignment, they're like, no, I'm not able to do this, not in my area, this is not in my line, this is not, you know, the kind of excuses. But then you just keep pushing them, try. Then they surprise themselves when they actually do it and they are very happy.
Yes.
That is actually part of motivation, because when people discover that they are able to do more than they actually thought they could do, they not only grow, but their self-confidence also grows, and they really appreciate who they are.
Yes. Okay.
So opportunity to perform is a great way of motivating people in their job performance. These are basics that that help people. The third one that maybe we can discuss thereafter, but is the willingness to perform. The willingness to perform. This is the degree to which an individual is willing to exert effort to do the work that they have been given to do, to perform the task that they have been given to do. Now, a person may have the capacity, they may have the opportunity, but they are not willing. Like you say, you can take a cow to the river, but you can't force them to drink the water.
Yes.
So the willingness has to be there. And in teams and organizations, you will find people who fall in this category of not willing. It is not that they can't do it. It is not that you have not given the opportunity, but they just are not pulling themselves and rising to the occasion of doing what needs to be done. That again becomes a frustration to both parties, interestingly.
Yes.
Both to the leader of the team and even to the team member. Mm. Because when you do not avail yourself to do the work that needs to be done, it means that you will not perform optimally. And when, therefore, an appraisal is done, you will be found to have underperformed and you will be discouraged in yourself when you finally get your results. And I'm not just talking about the formal appraisal system, which most many organizations have in place, but I'm talking about appraisal even after just the particular task.
Yes.
You know, you are given this task and you come back to give the results. And I look at it and I say, surely, is this the best that you could do?
Yeah.
And you thought I would be okay with it, but I am not okay with it. The very fact that I'm not happy as your leader with what you have delivered is a frustration to you and a frustration to me.
Yes.
And behind it is that you didn't exert yourself. You didn't give it your very best. You have the capacity, you have the opportunity, but you did not have the willingness. So people give you substandard job, not because they are not able to do a better job, but because they have not exerted themselves. And so when you come, and some bosses are very bad, you know, they will throw the thing at you and say, is this the best you can do? Then you say, my boss is so bad. But it's because you did not exert yourself. You did not do the best that you are capable of doing. That can be a frustration to both parties.
Let's pause on that one.
Yes.
And catch up with the news for followers listening to us and leaders, and just Google, where are you? You know, are you the one who you don't have the willingness to perform? And we'll be right back right here. Let's catch up with the news at noon with Joseph Maingi on the other side of the studio. And then we'll be back with more of this. And we'll also be sampling some of your questions and comments on 0717400555. And our SMS line is 20933 right here. Top FM and Hop TV. Listen and live. My name is Grace Mutiso.
BFM. It's now 12.
And we are back on the Leadership Forum. This day, before I bring Bishop back, I need to let you know that this Sunday, the place we need to be is at Sitam Thika Road. Yes, Sitam Thika Road, because Hope Media Crew will be there. We'll be fellowshipping at Sitam Thika Road this Sunday, the 4th of February 2024 for both services. And we are here to invite you to join us for the first service at 8:30 a.m. and the second service at 10. Yes, 8:30 a.m. for first service, 10:30 a.m. for the second service. Remember, if you are far away, you're not able to join us at Sitam Thika Road, you can catch the service live at Hope TV and on our social media pages at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. So come meet me, I'll be there. All my other colleagues, presenters on radio TV will be there. And also come and meet other great men and women who help us serve while on air. We'll be there at Sitam Thika Road. That is this coming Sunday, the 4th of February, the year 2024. I hope to see you there. Allow me to invite back Bishop Oginde. We stopped at the point we are focusing about the willingness to perform by the followers.
Yes. yes, we stopped there and we are saying that one can have the capacity and one has the opportunity, but they are just not willing to perform. And that becomes a frustration for both parties because you, as I was giving example, you're given a task to perform and there are certain expectations. But because you're not willing, for whatever reason, sometimes people are not willing because that is not a task that they enjoy doing, or they were expecting to be assigned a different one, but they have been given this one, and so on and so forth. They have had a quarrel with somebody else. Their psyche is not such that they can perform. Some people are just discouraged, and so they don't perform. So you are given this task, and you do the bare minimum. You bring it to your leader, and they are looking at it and wondering, I know you, because you have the capacity. How could you give me such substandard work? You know? But for you, that is the best you could give at that time.
Yeah.
Because of the status you're in. So that unwillingness creates a tension between the two of you. Your leader is not happy, and certainly you will also not be happy because you are being judged for not performing to the standard that is expected. So that is something that now falls on the part of the individual. Willingness is an individual thing. Opportunity, you are given. That's the leader to give you the opportunity.
Yes.
Capacity is yours, but it is up to the leader to pick people of capacity. But when it comes to willingness, it is you. Even God in heaven, who has given us all that we need to perform, has still allowed us to choose to perform. So we have to be willing to do what he asks us to do. And Jesus made it clear, we will be judged according to what we do. So it's a very, very important thing when it comes to issues of motivation and performance, the willingness to perform. And then that, therefore, I thought we could go back there a bit before we continue with the motivation, because they are linked. When we are now getting into motivation, which we had already started on, we are now looking at, here is a person who is either performing, overperforming, underperforming. What are the factors that could be creating that performance? And therefore, what can I do as a leader in order to help this person perform to their best?
Yes.
A person who is already performing, performing very well, you know, A+, what do they need? They need to be encouraged to continue. So that if you are performing very well, but it's not being appreciated, recognized, and all those things, it can cause you to begin to slide back.
Yes.
After all, nobody cares. After all, nobody even recognizes.
Yes.
So a super performer still needs motivation to continue performing at the same level, if not better. An average performer, person who is doing what is expected, that is called an average performer.
Yes.
You deliver what is expected.
To the core.
Yes.
If it's 16,
you know, in CBC, I think now we know it. Yeah. Yes. Below expectation, mm-hmm. at expectation,
approaching,
exceeding expectation. So those people who are exceeding expectation still need motivation to keep there or even get better.
Yes.
But those people who are at expectation need to be helped to exceed expectation. Mm. So they also need some level of encouragement.
Yes.
And of course, those below need to be lifted up so that they can also perform at a higher level. So let me look at, just mention some three components of motivation that one needs to consider when you are motivating an individual or if a person is being motivated. The first one is about the direction of motivation. This is the path that a person takes as a result of a motivation that is given to them. You are given a task. Which path do you take? Some people take the path of resistance. You know, I am really encouraging you to do this and so on and so on, but it falls to the willingness. Mm. So you don't take that path. Mm. It means, therefore, that we will not achieve much. Mm. The motivation is wasted.
Yeah.
There are people who take the path of staying the course. So you keep doing what you are doing. But then there are people who take the path of increase. They want to do even better. They want to explore new opportunity because they are just so excited that have been, whatever the source of motivation was, that they want to do more. And so the direction of motivation, is it negative? Is it positive? Is it neutral? That is something that one needs to consider. Then there is the intensity of the motivation. This is the level or strength or the response that one gives or gets out of the motivation that they have been given. So when I come and encourage you, this is great, you know. What is your response? Is it so casual? You know, or do you now exert even more strength and effort towards the achievement of the objective? So the level of strength that is given to the work that is going to be done. So some motivation that you give to individuals may cause them just to remain at the same level.
Mm.
You know?
They have chosen.
This is two way.
Okay.
It could be that what I consider to be a motivation to you is not a motivation. For example, we talked about money.
Mm.
So I increase your salary.
Yes.
By maybe another 10,000-20,000.
Give a good figure, Bishop.
Grace, I can see you are at another level. So let me say 100,000 because for you, and five.
Add another zero. On a light note.
So you see, already you are saying that if we give you 20,000, it will not motivate you.
It won't.
It won't motivate you because it's useless. It's
it's not useless. It's something.
It doesn't take you where you want to go. So it will not be a motivation.
But from your end, you
from
see
my end, I thought I'm doing my very best. I'm appreciating Grace for the work she has done. And I'm saying, Grace, we are adding you another 20,000. And then you are like, 20,000, it can even act as a discouragement. With all the work I have done, that's all you can do. So that will then cause there not to be movement, even with the motivation. So the intensity has to do with how much effort does then a person exert in doing the work that they are supposed to do as a result of the motivation they have been given.
So, for example, still with the 20, I'll receive it. I think at the back of my mind, I was expecting 100, but still I'll go an extra mile, or I might choose to remain status quo.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what is called intensity. So, to what extent does this push you to do the right thing?
Makes sense.
Or to even do better?
Yes.
Yes. That is the issue of intensity. How much effort you exert will depend on how you perceive the encouragement or the motivation. The third is persistence. Persistence has to do with how long you can stay and continue doing what you are doing in the right direction as a result of the motivation that you have been given. If we give you this 20,000, let's assume you are excited about it.
Yes, very excited.
Very excited.
Oh, I was not expecting. Surprise.
No, it's a Thank surprise. You. Mm. So, how long can it keep you doing the right thing, motivated to do the right thing?
Yes.
Is it a few weeks, a few months, a few years? That's what we call the persistence. So that as you do your work, even though it is difficult, as you do your work, even though it is challenging, you feel sufficiently motivated to continue doing it because you feel recognized, appreciated, etc. That is when we call it external motivation. So, but if it is internal motivation, which we call, last time we mentioned as intrinsic motivation, then how much can your intrinsic motivation carry you to keep doing the right thing irrespective of what is happening on the outside? That's what we call intensity. So it can carry you a few days, it can carry you a few months, it can carry you a few years. Keeping on doing the right thing, keeping on moving in the right direction, even though no other external motivators are added to it.
Yeah.
But you just keep going.
So this intrinsic motivation is really important to be cultivated.
Intrinsic motivation is the only motivation that can get you where you want to go.
And help you avoid complaining. I've given to this organization.
No.
They don't.
I may recognize that I'm not being appreciated, I'm not being rewarded, I'm not being compensated according to the work that I'm doing, you know. But just because of who I am, I cannot deliver any less because it goes with my name.
True.
I value myself too much to give substandard work just because somebody is not doing their work. So I'll still deliver even though circumstances are not conducive. That is intrinsic motivation.
Yes.
It is the best motivation. It is what will carry you through. In fact, what I normally tell people, especially those who are employed, that if you're going to develop yourself as an individual, work for yourself. Don't work for your boss. Don't work for your organization. Work for yourself. Yes. What do I mean by that? It means that because I want to grow as a person. Every opportunity I get to do anything, I take it as an opportunity for personal development. When I'm given a task to undertake, I see it as an opportunity to develop and grow my skills in that area. So I'm not looking at how much am I going to be paid for this, mm-hmm. but I'm looking at what can I benefit out of this. This is a new task. So next time, perhaps I'm doing my CV, I can update my CV that yes. I have been able to do this successfully.
Yes.
When I get another opportunity like that, I have the confidence and because I have the experience and expertise to be able to do it. So I therefore work for myself. I don't work for my organization. My organization benefits from the byproduct of my self-development.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes.
So then I will not be looking at how much am I being paid, how much am I being appreciated, how much am I being recognized. And those things come as a by the way. They are what Jesus would say shall be added unto you.
All the other things.
All the other things. Yes. They are added unto me.
Yes.
A person who works that way, you'll find they are permanently motivated. They are always excited about their work. They are always excited about what they are doing. When you ask them, so how much are you being paid for this? You really?
Really? Are you sure?
Are you sure? And yeah. the way you exert yourself.
Yes.
It's because I'm exerting myself for myself, not for the organization,
yes.
not for the pay, the compensation, but because I want to grow myself, I want to develop myself. Mm. I've got an opportunity to develop myself, and therefore I'm going to do it. Yes. When a task comes and nobody else wants to do it, I say, bring it on.
Bring it on, and I do it well.
And you do it well.
Mm.
You do it well.
Yes.
So when you find a person like that, they are always super motivated. They are always super motivated. But people who depend on how much am I compensated, how much am I recognized, how much am I, you know, they're always grumbling. Oh, I did this. Nobody even cared. Nobody even mentioned. No one paid me for it. Those people are always complaining. Because the truth is, no one can ever compensate you enough.
Very true.
No one can compensate you enough if you are doing your very best.
Yes.
No.
True.
Do it for yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself.
That's very important.
Yes. Mm. So when you have that do it for yourself, then all the three that we have talked about, the direction, the intensity, and the persistence will be there. You will work in the towards achieving positive goals. You'll give it all your effort, and you'll be persistent. You will continue to do the right thing over and over and over again. Those are the people who get promotions very quickly. Those are the people who get moving up the ladder very quickly. They don't have to know anybody. Your job speaks for you.
Itself. Yeah.
Yeah, speaks for you.
Mm.
Yeah. It may not even be the same organization. By the way, you say you are going to present in a seminar representing your organization. Somebody may just see you there and say, hey, I need to talk to this lady. And they say, yeah, what? And before you know it, you are poached. <You know?
laughs> They look for you.
You don't look for them because they are just... they ask you, how much are you being paid? And they are shocked.
Mm.
We can give you five times that.
Mm.
Yeah. But if you are just there giving shoddy work, who will even want to talk to you? Will want you?
Mm.
Work for yourself. Be self-motivated. Mm. Self-motivated. Finally, the last thing I want to perhaps just touch on, and maybe we continue on.
One more, Bishop. A question has just popped into my mind.
Yes.
You know, the emphasis you're putting to our listeners and our viewers, work, be self-motivated. Work for you. What happens in scenarios where a follower is working for themselves, they're self-motivated, but the environment and everything else, every other single day keeps pushing them towards the opposite direction. And you know, over time, they just give in.
That's why there was the third point.
Okay.
Persistence will look at Joseph in the Bible.
Yes.
He is a good friend of the parents at home. The brothers don't like it.
Mm-mm.
They sell him into slavery.
Yes.
He does not go there grumbling and grudging and now look what they did to me. No. He gets into Potiphar's house, and the Bible says he worked with all his strength until the boss recognized. And the Bible says that with Joseph in charge, Potiphar did not bother with anything except the food he ate.
Mm.
Then one thing leads to another. He finds himself in prison. Again, he's not complaining and grudging and so on. He gets there and becomes the best prisoner until he's promoted to be the chief prisoner.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
To supervise the others. Consistency, persistence. That is what finally ends him up in the palace as a prime minister of Egypt, the superpower of the time. This self-motivation and persistence against all odds is what will get you there. And I can give you personal examples. I mean, when I talk about working for yourself, I've done it in many places. There are things I've done for years that I'm not paid for. Nobody compensates me. But it is those things that propel you to the next level.
Yes.
You know? It is what opens doors for opportunity.
Yes.
Because people get to see what you are doing. People get to hear what you are saying. And they feel we could do with this. So it is not because it is easy, but it is because you are persistent.
Yes.
Because it is the right thing. The right thing is not always easy.
No.
But that's why you are internally motivated.
Yes.
Internally motivated.
Yes.
So if you do a great work and then it is shoved aside, so nobody recognizes you, or like happens in organization, somebody steals it and takes the glory.
Yeah.
You know, your boss picks your work and goes and makes a powerful presentation as if it is their own. And they are sitting there, no acknowledgement, no mention of you. You are happy. You're okay. At least you contributed to the boss' great performance, you know?
Yeah.
If he gets a promotion as a result of your work, why not? That's why you are there, you know?
That sounds tough.
It is tough, but those are things that then that same boss may not acknowledge you now, but say they get another opportunity somewhere, they can mention, I have a worker who can help you in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you've been introduced to another place or to another person who will more than compensate you for the work you have done.
Yes.
So the doing the right thing, doing it with all your heart, doing it with all your might, is never lost. It's never lost. Just work for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't be this person who has to be supervised, you know. In your timekeeping, in your delivery, in your, you know, don't be those kinds of people who, now what is the time that you are arriving? Just do it.
Yes.
You know, it is the right thing to arrive on time.
Yes.
It's the right thing to deliver on time. It's the right thing to do things with excellence.
Yes.
Just do it. Yeah.
Self-motivation.
Maybe we can take questions. I can see our time is far spent.
You wanted to give us one more thing.
No, let's do it next time.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, sour.
Yes. If there are comments and questions.
Yes.
If there aren't, then we can proceed.
Okay. Allow us to get to our question of the day, where we are sampling some of your questions and comments that have come through. Remember, our WhatsApp line is 0717-400-555. And you can also talk to us on at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya.
Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Okay, Bishop. Let's begin with this. Okay, why is this question disappearing? It doesn't have self-motivation.
It's running away.
This one says, Bishop, can a hands-on leader demotivate a worker? Allow me to use the case of our political leader going around launching and commissioning some projects that could have been commissioned, said by maybe a junior kind of a leader, not at a higher level.
It becomes bad if it is micromanagement. You know, there are leaders who are micromanagers who want to be involved in everything. You know, like in the good old days, I give you a letter to type for me, but then I'm standing behind you telling you, no, don't do that. Correct that one. It is terrible. Yes. I've sat in board meetings where the chairman even dictates the minutes. You discuss, and say, once you have reached agreement, say, secretary, okay, now write this, and then dictate and say, the board agreed.
It's tiring.
And so we take the next few minutes while they are dictating how that particular resolution should be drafted and put in words. There are people who are like that. And it can be very demotivating. I agree with the listener that can be demotivating. So, like we said earlier, don't tell people, your team members, how to do things. Tell them what to do. So you can make adjustments and corrections after they brought to you. Because you see, when you're telling people how to do things, then the best you can get is your own ideas. Mm. That's the best you can get. Mm. But when you allow people to explore, then you also get their ideas. Mm. So makes the two of you and you become more powerful.
Yes.
So by dictating to people and instructing people exactly what they're supposed to do, it is only your ideas that are running the organization or running the project or running the task. So benefit from the team members by allowing them to explore. Yes.
Okay. This one says, Bishop, what do you do in a situation where you have this capacity, excess energy, but when you go extra mile, your boss or colleagues feel threatened or they say, unajipendekeza, ama we ni mjuaji sana, and you know more than that. What should I do as a follower?
That happens. And we just gave the story of Joseph. When he was in his parents' home, that's why he was sold into slavery, because they thought, ye ni mjuaji sana. You know, even the parents began to think, hey, this son of ours, are we going to bow before you? Nimjuaji sana. So that is a normal response and reaction sometimes in organizations or within teams. And it requires, therefore, wisdom so that you do not. I think what Joseph lacked when he was at home was wisdom. He could have done the things that he was doing or shared the dreams that he had in a more respectful manner, that recognizing that he's the youngest in the home, and there are older brothers, there are parents. So you just don't tell, I dream, you people are bowing before me, you know. You will be killed.
Yes.
So it requires wisdom on how you make presentations and how you share ideas. One of the things I've said here before, always use the plural form in sharing your ideas.
Yes.
Always use the tentative language in sharing ideas. What do I mean? Plural is Don't always talk about I.
Mm-mm.
Even if it is you.
Mm.
Yeah. This is what we could do.
Mm.
No?
Yes.
We could check this. We could explore this. We could do it in this other way. It is we.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So if you are giving it to a third party, still use the we language. Mm. We did this. We came up with this. We were wondering about this. Mm. You know,
yes.
We as the team. People feel included. Mm. Everybody knows where the idea has come from.
Yes.
But you have included. It's very unlikely that they will kill you for giving them credit that doesn't belong to them. But when the rubber meets the road,
uh-huh.
even some of your team members will say, by the way, it's Grace who came up with this idea, and we really appreciate her being a member of our team.
Okay.
You know?
Mm.
She really helped us. Mm. Because they realize that you also recognize them and you acknowledge them. But if you're always talking, I told them, I came up with this idea, I was wondering, I thought, then of course people feel excluded. The tentative side to it, don't be too emphatic. Mm. This is what we should do. This is what you should do.
Mm.
This is what I think, this is the direction I think we should go, and so on and so forth. That is too emphatic. People think, are you the only one with ideas, you know? But when you say, suppose we did this, I was just wondering if we could consider this. People feel you're giving them room to make a contribution to your ideas.
Yes.
So it doesn't come out like you are arrogant and you are final in your decision, because there's a possibility that your idea is wrong.
True.
Or may not be 100% true.
Yes.
So give it with some level of room for others to make contribution to adjust to it.
Mm.
When you do that, people then appreciate you and they feel they're included and you don't come out as arrogant.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Maureen, for listening in from Gracious Design City Stadium. Thank you for listening. Somebody asking, you want more points around opportunity to perform, please. The recording is at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. Run to YouTube. Better still, Hope FM podcast on www.hopemediakenya.org. By tomorrow, you'll be having this session up. You can be able to catch the same discussion or on Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. catch a repeat right here at Top FM, and thank you for listening. Okay. This one says, Bishop, what's the healthy leadership motivation to use to address church dramas? Following recent dramas here at home, one church member, I think, beat to death a suspected of stealing 2,000, and another church member held protest to impeach the pastor because of exposing their marriage issues. So what's the best healthy way to motivate in such situations?
I don't think that is a motivation issue. It could be a leadership issue, but not necessarily motivation issue. It is how do you relate within the church environment. It has a lot to do with the governance.
Mm.
In every organization, not just church, but includes church, there should be a governance structure and system that allows members to make contribution of ideas, but also allows members to bring up their grievances, and it is resolved in an amicable manner. When those avenues and channels are not there, then people resolve to what the kind of thing that is being described here. So what my advice would be, as a church, put in place systems and structures that are, everybody knows that should I disagree with the pastor, this is the channel to follow. And it will be dealt with objectively, and the matter will be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Should I disagree with a fellow member of the congregation, this is the channel for me to follow, and the matter will be listened to and be resolved amicably. That brings unity within the body, and it helps people to know that we don't have to pick pangas and rungus and fight ourselves, because there are these channels that have been provided through which our grievances, our disagreements, our views and opinions can be considered. Yes.
Okay. This one says, I think this one wrote in when you tackled it, but let's see. A brother writes and says, Bishop, what do you do when your HOD keeps saying he did this and that when he knows very well it's you have been lobbying for business and he tells other bosses it's him? Please advise me on what to do.
I think we, as you say, we already address it.
Yes.
And we say that if you are self-motivated, then even though your boss may, as it were, take glory for your efforts, it will not affect you too much. It will affect you because we are human beings. We like to be recognized. We like to be appreciated and acknowledged. So I'm not saying that you are a stone. You'll just sit there and say, okay. No, you will still feel something within. But because you are self-motivated, you do not, it does not demotivate you from now doing even more. Because remember we said, you are working for yourself.
Yourself,
you know?
Yes.
People will eventually know that all these stories is hot air. This is all coming from you, you know, and you can't live a lie forever. It will eventually come out. So keep doing the right thing. Keep working hard. In any case, you are there to support your boss. So if he's shining, it is because you have made him to shine.
Self-motivation is important.
Self-motivation.
A sister writes in and says, Bishop, I've been working with an organization for 5 years and no promotion. And each time I do evaluation, my supervisor tells me I'm doing well. My performance is good, yet people come and get promoted and I'm still at the same level. I don't feel motivated, rather stagnant and not growing in my career. What should I do as a follower?
The first, keep doing the right thing in terms of persistence. But secondly, discuss with your boss and find out if there is anything that you are not doing that is causing you to be stagnant. Don't accuse them of bypassing you and so on, but just try and find out, is there something that I could do? Because I realize I am been stagnant for the last 5 years, and yet I think I've been doing my very best. I could be missing something, you know, that I need to do in order for me to also be considered for a promotion. So I wanted to just know, is there an area I need to work on, something I need to develop, so that I can also get opportunity to move forward? And let them advise you.
Okay. I think this is a good place to pause.
Thank you.
Parting shot, and then you pray for us, Bishop.
No, I don't have a parting shot other than work for yourself.
Work for yourself.
Be self-motivated. Yes.
Okay, you could pray for us.
Thank you, our Lord and Father, for giving us opportunity again today as we considered matters to do with leadership. I pray for those people like the one we have just talked about who may be discouraged because of their work environment, the things they are doing and being not being acknowledged or appreciated. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help them to look up to you, because indeed for us as believers, we know that promotion does not come from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. And so because of that, we'll do our best in spite of whatever may happen around us, and trust that at the appropriate time, you'll bring us that promotion that we are indeed looking forward to. This is our prayer we bring before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and God bless you.
Asante sana.
Okay.
Be motivated.
Yes, we are being motivated. That's our action point for this week until we meet next week again. And for the whole year, be self-motivated. My name is Grace Mutiso. I wish you a blessed afternoon. Stand by for the news at 1 with Joseph Maenge Mbogo. After that, afternoon switch will be here. That is Man Carries. I'll see you next week. Remember to catch a repeat right here at Hope FM, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Saturday at Hope FM Podcast, any time of the day at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya. God bless you. Shalom. And have a beautiful afternoon.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.